Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the extravaganza known as the third annual Culty Awards.
Hey, hey, we're the Culties. We're always culting around. Yeah. We're the Culties. Cult town. Yes.
Yeah.
So excited.
Thank you. And you can find that on Jack's SoundCloud. Doesn't know where it is, but it's hidden somewhere there. And you're listening to Matthew Gregg, who will be the mediator, I guess, the Culties, but...
The judge?
The judge, thank you. The judge of the Culties, but the people making the big decisions, because the people who have spent most of 2020 watching all of wrestling, because let's face it, there's not been a lot else to do. Mr. Jack the Jobber?
Hello.
And Mr. Ross Twaddell?
Hello, Matthew. How are you today?
I feel like you look... Ross, what an amazing attire you have for this Christmas festive period.
Thank you. I had planned to do a video regarding Christmas for the channel, but time got in the way, so I just got left with these props I got bought on with a company card. This Bret the Hitman Hart jumper, it lights up. Look, the lights are going. Whoa. It feels like it came from Wish. I'm about to create some sort of electrical storm in here. If I rub my arms together too quickly, it's a terrifying affair. But yes, it's Christmas Day. Believe it or not, we're sat here in work on Christmas Day.
No, right. I hate to break Christmas fabe, but I forgot that this was going out on Christmas Day. So I'm sorry, everybody, for not making an effort. All right, then.
Scrooge, the silent, the top corner.
I'm here on Christmas.
The silence is immeasurable.
Are you on a pre-record video, Jack?
Yeah, I just know exactly what's going to be said at all times.
We are kind of predictable, it's got to be said. Christmas Eve or Boxing Day or Hanukkah, whatever it is you're celebrating, Jack, that's not a problem. But how the hell are you feeling right now?
I'm all good. I'm excited for the awards. I love stats and everything. So it's going to be, I love little competitions. It's going to be like Eurovision, but more camp.
Well, I mean, look how we dress, of course. So let's not waste any time. If this is your first time watching this, first of all, where the hell have you been? Secondly, the way it will work, Jack will give us his pick for what he believes is that award's winner. Then we'll go to Ross. Then I will decide. I'll do a big yay. They'll get a nice shiny graphic, which I'm sure our tech team here at Cultaholic are looking forward to making. And then move on and on and on. I'll look back at the 2018 and 2019 winners. And that is pretty much it. So I hope you sat down and ready. Got yourself a nice beverage. Your eggnog. That bottle of Plonk that only your parents drink. And then you spend the rest of the year avoiding. Or just a big bucket of gravy. Whatever you got, we hope you got it and you're ready and excited. The first round of looking back at the year that wasn't 2020 is most underrated. And for a little back thing there, 2018's winner, Chad Gable. A bit wrong there, eh? And 2019's winner, Akira Tozawa.
And look where they are now.
Yeah, we're striking gold each and every year, aren't we? We're wrestling analysts, aren't we? We know what we're talking about.
Underrated? That doesn't mean we're wrong. They just continue to be underrated, I think.
Yeah, they're underrated according to the universe. So, yeah. So we can put the anal in analysts. What is your most underrated pick of 2020, Jack?
Oh, no, you've gone for me first. I was hoping you'd go for Ross first in this one. Right. I don't want to scare anyone or turn them away. The rest of my picks are not as left field as this, so don't worry. If what I'm about to say, don't worry. Okay, my underrated this year is Stardom's Mayu Iwatani. So I knew Ross was gonna.
Oh, I'm Jack, I watch things of people who don't. Oh, I watch more things of people. Oh dear.
I love New Japan's women division. Ooh.
No, right.
I'm the pyro expert. Not pyro, is it puro?
Pyro. I do love the pyro wrestling. Now the reason I've gone for Mayu Iwatani is because in 2020, a lot of promotions just haven't been able to put on shows for most of the year. Stardom are one of the few promotions that has been able to put on a sizable amount of shows. And as their main champion for most of the year, Mayu Iwatani's done a stellar job. She's been one of the most consistent wrestlers of the year. She's been matched up well against every challenger. She seems to get the best match out of them. And recently, she dropped the belt to Utami Hayashishita, who's like their next big, like, I guess their next big star, the next big thing of Stardom. So Mayu Iwatani's done a sterling job this year. And as your reaction at the start of this segment proves, she is worthy of the most underrated performer. So there we go.
Fantastic. Well, you know all about Stardom, Jack. I mean, you can't walk down Grey Street without starting a flash mob. And it's nice there. You've dropped so many names. It's like the scene in Miracle on 34th Street. We have to bring in the letters from Santa. Fantastic. All those indie cred names. Now I know how you guys feel when I talk about Dub X Dub.
That Stardom pun was maybe the best like backhanded compliment I've ever received. That was really clever. That was really funny.
Thank you, Jack. Well, That's a highlight of the show. I might as well turn off now. Ross, any thoughts on Jack's pick before
Please
we get
don't
yours?
Ask him that. Don't ask him
I
that.
Think, no, I think Jack's being quite clever here because he's picked someone who clearly you have no idea who he's talking about. So they could be fantastic. They could be rubbish. They could be made up for all we know, Matthew.
Just to give a bit of a...
You're right.
Just to give a bit of context about who she is. Mayu Iwatani is like the new... So when Io Shirai and Kairi Sane, or Kairi Hojo, as she was then known, when they left Stardom...
Oh, as she was then known.
She's like
then
the
she
new...
was there, obviously, Ross.
She's...
Philistine.
She's like the new ace of Stardom. She's the new John Cena, now that Io and Kairi have left. So, yeah.
And she's underrated.
Well, to the wider audience, not to fans of Stardom, but yeah.
Good times. Well, Ross, it's a hard one to beat, but what if you offer most underrated?
You're telling me, Matthew, because I was looking on Wikipedia just at the roster pages, just the bare names in a big table there going, who was underrated? Underutilized is very different to underrated, I think. We've all got the people who we think are underutilized and should be pushed to the moon more than they are. But when it comes to underrated, I'm going for the wrestling abilities of one John Silver. Because yes... He grabs the attention with Johnny Hungy and just being generally hilarious every single time Dark Order are doing anything worthwhile anywhere. But when it comes to wrestling, first of all, he hops in the ring like Crash Holly, and not enough people hop in the ring between the ropes without their feet touching the floor like Crash Holly. And then I'm looking at the combos himself and Alex Reynolds do. We got that thing where they do all the kicks and the Germans and all that malarkey. And I'm thinking, wow. This guy is a good wrestler, but I never see anyone speaking about how good of a wrestler he is. So that's me logic for picking John Silver to be the most underrated guy here in 2020.
That's a very good pick. His match with Orange Cassidy was absolutely brilliant as well.
Yes, it was. I should have mentioned that.
Mm. There you go. You're working together like those two. Fantastic.
I'm Reynolds.
Jack, as much as I love Yoshi's Island and Yoshi's Story, it's an easy pick for me here. Mr. John Silver... representing the 5'6" crowd, I have to obviously give props to my friend there, John Silver. And yeah, like life is short and hard, and I think he is underrated. Absolutely. And I think there's bright things ahead of him. Of course, not according to this award, if anything like Chad Cable, so his career's gone.
It's a cursed award.
Yeah. Nice knowing you, John. If you hadn't done my little Matthew selections, we're going to be, if we're picking a wrestler who hasn't had a big title match or a big run yet, I was going to go with The Butcher and the Blade. Or one of them, if we could pick that, because they haven't really had a title match, big thing, you know. Failing that, Layla Hirsch, because she's just showed up, started existing. So, yeah,
also,
John
also
Silver
very
was way
good.
Better than my picks.
No, they were also very good picks. By picking the biggest star in a promotion, I feel like I may have slightly overshot the mark here when it comes to underrated. But, you know.
Hey, it's your opinion, Jack. Yeah. There are many like it, but this one is yours. Moving on then to most improved... 2018's winner was, of course, Carmella, which had that great run and then didn't do much afterwards. And 2019, Bray Wyatt.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, because he was really crap and then he became the... Oh, whatever.
So it was looking promising at the time.
It really was, wasn't it? 2019 was a strange year.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, wait, we said 2020. What am I talking about? Ross, who is your most improved of this year?
Well, I picked Bray last year just because going off 2019, the character was dead and it was rubbish and he was doing stuff with Matt Hardy. Then he got the new gimmick halfway through the year. Or just, was it springtime, wasn't it, when the Firefly Funhouse debuted? And it all went like that. The trajectory completely changed. Easy for me to say. But I'm going for something similar this year, just based going off that 2019 run to the 2020 run, and that is Randall Keith Orton.
Oh.
I could not have been less interested in Randy Orton during the course of 20... Well, all the way through from just about 20... Well, 2009 to 2018, 19. Not interesting at all, no matter what the authority were doing and this, that and the other. But Randall Keith this year has just proved, yes, we all say if you're going to build a wrestler from the ground up, it's going to be Randy Orton. But he's actually been bloody interesting this year. Fantastic stuff. Arguably the best work of his career. I still think 2009 probably pips it. Maybe the Legend Killer, the original run, maybe pips it as well. But top tier stuff from Randall Keith this year. You don't need me to run through it all, otherwise we'll be here until 2021. But Randall Keith, most improved this year. Just become interesting again.
Hmm.
Yeah, fair enough. That's not what I was expecting to say, but it's hard to argue with you, Ross. You're right. He's been on another level compared to all the other crap I've had to put up with this year. And that's a fair point, mate. I hope Jack's got a good one so I can pick something else other than Randy, just out of despite or anything. So, Jack, what have you got for us?
I'm going for Pat McAfee because he's gone from being a non-wrestler. I know that it's hard to say he's most improved when he's had two matches, but he's gone from being a non-wrestling component who a lot of people didn't immediately take to in NXT, and he's now become not only one of the most charismatic parts of NXT, according to CM Punk, the best promo on NXT, but also a really entertaining wrestler as well. And yes, he might not have a full grasp of the fundamentals yet, but he's like a freak athlete. Some of the stuff that he can do is absolutely absurd. Reminds you how on another level professional sportsmen are and sportswomen to normal people like you and I. And he's just absolutely phenomenal. Really enjoyed his match with Adam Cole. Really enjoyed his parts of the War Games match that he was in as well. So can't say more than that, really. Pat McAfee.
Oh, it's tough. It really is. I mean, Randy Orton, at one point this year, he went into the Legends locker room, switched off the lights, put on his Splinter Cell goggles, and then killed them. That's tough. It's a tough thing to jump over. But Pat McAfee has those big, strong legs to jump over that, because not only has he been one of the highlights of NXT in a pretty year, as far as I'm concerned, but he follows me on Twitter. So give it
corruption
to big Pat McAfee.
Corruption in the
coldies.
That is
bollocks. That is not right. Pat McAfee might have been this good all the time. We didn't know this, did we? It's just because he started wrestling. This is bollocks.
He might have moonsaulted out of the womb. We don't know that.
Exactly. Did a hurricane rather than his mom on the way out.
Oh, my God.
Using the umbilical cord.
Oh, all right.
Now, Ryan Sutton. Now.
Ryan Sutton.
Tusk.
Did you not see his tweet?
Do I follow Ryan Sutton on Twitter?
No, but his tweet went big because it was a very bad joke.
What was it?
I hope Seth Rollins did this to his baby when it was born by the umbilical cord and it was him swinging the belt around. I know!
So lost in all that was big Pat McAfee on McAfee to his friends. I'll call him what I'm like. Winning. Most improved. Loved seeing him talk and big himself up and amazing and all that stuff. But I would like to give a shout out. I had two here. I was going to say MVP for similar reasons to how Randy Orton was said, because he wasn't necessarily bad. He just wasn't doing anything last year. And he's come back and he's outclassed a lot of the roster.
You want to mention that match he had with Rey Mysterio in February. Do you remember how bad that was when he took the 619 to the back and it just looked like he lost it all? But he hadn't. He turned it around, to be fair to him. Fantastic.
So there's that. Or the other one was going to be Chris Bey, who went from being barely known, made little appearances on 205 Live, then kind of show up in Impact Wrestling, to not only winning the X Division title, not only about to headline against Rich Swann in the second only time that's been two African Americans going at it on the top of the main event card on a pay-per-view, but also it's going to be Best of Super Junior for New Japan.
Nice.
Which is good for Jack because he loves all that.
Not the Japanese one, though. The one held outside of Japan, right?
Oh, there was the New Japan one.
Or is he going to be in next year's? The New Japan one's going on as we speak. I think the finals have been decided. And we'll already know who the winner is by the time this comes out.
So maybe congratulations.
It's next year. No, maybe it's next
congratulations year. Congratulations on winning or not winning the Best of Super J Cup.
Super J Cup.
Still stands.
If it was a Super J Cup, then yeah, he's in that. That makes sense.
Well done for winning whatever the hell it was. Anyway, we move on to the next award. Most charismatic. 2018, rightly saw Becky Lynch winning this. I think it was a one horse race, that one. Last year, MJF, who was absolutely thrilled to award. And we're still anticipating the day he starts to listen to the Cultaholic podcast and tears it apart.
I'm dreading it.
I'm dreading it too.
I can't wait for him to call me fat and say I can't speak English properly. I can't wait for it. It's going to be great.
Well, that's the thing,
we should find out the episode that he's about to do it, and we'll just make it the most colloquial, slang-filled. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, pack of doilums. Yeah,
he announces it a week ahead. So what we should do is do like a virtual one where we don't appear on screen.
Yeah,
get some voice actors. Some voice actors to play us all.
We're all
hello
super...
there. I am Ross Twaddell from Cultaholic Wrestling.
We're all like, we get a few Calvin Klein models and cut the mouths out, and the models just talk like that.
Like the Conan O'Brien joke is just a still image like that, and he's like, hello. Yeah.
I'm Zac Efron, and welcome to... Oh, dear.
What were we talking about? Most charismatic. It's a tough one aside for this crazy year. Jack, what have you got for us?
Well, for me, I think this was the easiest choice to make of all of them. Okay. It's Eddie Kingston for me. What a promo. Best promo in the world, potentially. Everything he does feels like he means it and like it's real. And I think that... Especially in modern wrestling where everybody knows that it's, you know, staged, I think that has even more value because it helps people get immersed. When in today's day and age, it's actually quite hard to get immersed in wrestling if someone doesn't help you forget that it's all pre-planned. And Eddie Kingston has that. I think he's a phenomenal promo. He could build a feud with anyone. He built a feud with Matthew at one point. And yeah, I just think he's fantastic.
Ross, have you got any burner?
My back is against the wall with this one because we have a very corrupt judging panel, as we've already proven. I'm going for Roman. And it's based off... I had MJF penciled in for most of the year until last... Well, the SmackDown before West sat... It's the 10th of December, by the way. So the SmackDown before the 10th of December. I know, I had to say it. I don't know what date it was. He stood in the ring. He's just been interviewed by Caleb Braxton, who he shot down numerous times. Kevin Owens comes down. He says, come on, Roman, let's have a fight because we're wrestlers and that. And just it's the way he said it. And this is what convinced me that he's the most charismatic wrestler in the world today. He just says, Kevin, I'm a gentleman. There's a lady in the ring. Grow up, will you? And he just walked off. He just walked off. And I thought that was just a slice of genius from Roman Reigns there. And of course, the rest of his promo work since he turned heel in the summer has just spoken for itself. It's the natural calling for the guy. He should have been in this role all along. We've been saying this for years, haven't we? Telling Vince McMahon how to do it properly, because that's what we do as wrestling fans. But Roman Reigns, good looking, charismatic, better than Eddie Kingston.
Wow. That's like deciding who's giving you the best Christmas present, isn't it? Your mum or your dad? I
mean, well, which one
hell.
Follows you on Twitter, Matthew?
Roman does. He just want to talk about it. Roman Reigns has been the best he's ever been this year, as far as I'm concerned. So I've got him penciled in for an award upcoming. But charismatic? Eddie Kingston has been doing that thing all year. Roman Reigns has only just started doing this since SummerSlam.
Ooh.
So I would say it's Eddie Kingston just because of length.
Okay.
And we all love a bit of length here on the show.
Yeah.
So Eddie Kingston, but it was close. And again, I fully agree with everything Jack said. It's hard for me to care about Cody or the Young Bucks or whatever. Eddie Kingston coming out and going, I need to win that title to show my mom when she says, why don't you have a son? Why don't you have a daughter? Why don't you have a mortgage in your house? And I hold up the title and goes, this is why, Ma.
Oh.
It's like, yeah. So, yeah, Tim. My vote was going to be, if Eddie Kingston wasn't picked, Nick Gage. just his cameos, walk around going, hey, you should stop feeling bad about yourself, man. Get yourself up. MDK, murder all day, and all the other stuff he says. So, best non-wrestler next. 2018's William Regal. I think because they're shouting War Games a lot, so how much you change? 2019, Excalibur. Ooh, two tough ones there. Ross, who is your number one best non-wrestler of 2020?
It's Taz. Mm. AEW Dark speaks for itself. They just take the piss on there and have a laugh, and it's fantastic to hear. And then when he wants to get serious in the ring with Team Taz, there's obviously there are better promos in AEW, but there's few better promos than Taz when he's hooked in with Brian and the other lads that I've forgotten that I'm sitting here right now. Ricky and Will.
Powerhouse,
Will,
Brian.
Powerhouse Hobbs. And Taz's son, Hook, from the popular 90s film, Hook.
I got a few tweets saying, "Was that you, Jack? Way, because he looks young, and he was die.
He looks like Johnny Knoxville to me.
Looks like Johnny Knox. I'll have to look at him again, see if he does."
There was the shot where they're all stood looking menacing on the December the 9th episode of AEW Dynamite, and he looked like Johnny Knoxville to me.
No, fair enough.
Could be wrong, but Taz is the answer.
Fantastic, more like Johnny Hard Knoxville. great pick, Jack.
I'm going to go for Tony Schiavone because I think he was like, he nearly won last year when Excalibur did, or we mentioned him quite a lot maybe, saying, oh, Tony's been brilliant, hasn't he? But not quite. Well, this year, I think Tony's gone to the next level. It's mad that he's not been doing it for so long and then just comes in and just hasn't missed a beat. He's just fantastic. But not just for his commentary either, for his interviews, for his vignettes with Britt Baker, which were hilarious, and generally just for the way that not so much the way that he even says stuff in these promos and videos, but the way he reacts. His reactions to other people are like Mean Gene levels of like it taking it so seriously. He's got such a good shocked face when someone says something to him. He's like, oh, how dare you? So I'm going for Tony. And also, he's just got a voice for commentary, hasn't he? He's just got a brilliant voice.
Wow, two great picks there. And yeah, I agree with both of them. I'll go with Taz just on the basis that what he's done is meaning more to the AEW product. Mm. He absolutely carries AEW Dark, which I don't think that many people would care about or watch as much if it wasn't for the commentary that involves him. But then he goes off and be, as you said, serious Taz. He's got the Harvey Dent thing. So, yeah, he switches personalities and turns serious, talks about his kid, how dare you, Cody, oh, I'll ref you up and all this stuff. Taz putting the Kataja Hajime on somebody in 2020 could easily be very laughable, considering that he is a funny guy and he's about the same size as Buzz Lightyear. He gets on the mic, he shouts, he yells his things, he's got a stable, and suddenly it's a serious thing and we've got a feud build up. So absolutely, Taz, he can do everything.
Fair enough. No sour grapes here. That's all fine. It's all right, it's okay.
Well, he's seen somebody being set up. My one for that wasn't going to be Taz or Tony Schiavone. An honourable mention to Samoa Joe. By far and away the best commentator in WWE right now.
That's a good pick.
You can make yelling, give us a kiss, every time Drew McIntyre's in the ring.
Although I do think, I like Ross's idea that he should be the GM. Yeah. That's a good idea as well. But Adam Pearce, you know, is there.
So, yes, every single segment, we know.
Yeah, he's running the show.
On to the next one. Best gimmick. 2018 saw Becky Lynch winning this. It really was the year of Becky Lynch, 2018. 2019, John Moxley. Yeah, could see that working very well, around that nice wave. What have you got this year for us, Jack?
This is the one that I've nominated Roman Reigns for, Tribal Chief. Because, well, I don't know what to say really, because Ross kind of covered it all when he was talking about most charismatic. I guess I'll say as well that I really like the interactions with Jey Uso that are still going on, like, he's beating him down one week. He's welcoming him back into the fold the next week. It's really disturbing and really, like, detestable, which is what you want. I'm so shocked at the turnaround of Roman Reigns because we've wanted him to be a heel for so long. It felt like he was never going to be like Cena. And then they just went for it. And they didn't just turn him heel. Like, they've really gone all in. He's got Heyman. He's doing all the heelish stuff. He's fantastic on the mic, as Ross mentioned. And his matches have been good as well. So best gimmick for me is Roman Reigns.
Ross, is there any other pick you've got other than Big Roman?
Well, I would argue that that's not a gimmick. He's the tribal chief and head of the table in real life.
Okay, sorry.
This is just real life bleeding over into professional wrestling. I was looking up and down the rosters again, and when you're just thinking about gimmicks, just what the concept of a gimmick wrestler, there's not many kicking about these days, is there? So I've gone for Darby Allin, because he's added new strokes to what he was doing last year with these promo packages that he's doing that are just nobody could write them for him. They're clearly coming from him. That abstract and weird and dark and disturbing. And then you get celebrity cameos from like Steve-O and Tony Hawk and people like that.
And Hook. Johnny Knoxville, he'll probably turn up at one point.
He should do. And then obviously he's bringing sort of shades of Sting into his gimmick as well, being up in the rafters. And even though it is just like, that is just what Sting was doing in the 90s, it works for him. And it's adding even more to what was already there. So the half-dead thing, the crazy bastard, the dark disturbing promos, all of that. I think they've gone to another level this year. The TNT champion, obviously, as well, being added in there. Darby Allin for me.
Oof. It's a good one there, Ross, and it's hard not to see why you'd pick him.
Hey!
Thank you. But yeah, first gimmicks go, he is one of the biggest gimmicks they have in wrestling right now, apart from like Abaddon or Sue Young perhaps, but maybe Orange Cassidy would be somebody I would have maybe also brought up as well. But let's face facts. Most days I can't be arsed watching SmackDown. Hack to Raw number one. But big shirtless Roman brings me back every week to watch the blue brand. So without a shadow of a doubt, the head of the table, the tribal chief. Call him what you like, but don't call him late for dinner. Roman Reigns, gimmick of the year.
Bam, Margera. Oh, that was weak. I was trying to think of one.
Rob himself. Yeah. Brandon Dicamillo.
Yeah.
Rick Yon.
Chris what's English's name? First
Dave.
Name, Chris Dave English.
He's Jackass, though, isn't he?
Oh, who's Aaron?
McGeehee. He's Jackass as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll probably get these people on the show.
Pondius, Jackass also.
Yeah, we could probably get all these people with one phone call to make a cameo appearance on the call. Anyway, moving on to Feud of the Year. I'm interested in seeing what you guys have got for this. Gargano versus Ciampa being our favourite thing in 2018. Wow, my, how times change. And 2019, Jericho versus Cody. It's a very deserving win. But what do you think is a Feud of the Year, Mr. Ross?
Well, I saw what Mr. Jack had picked before making my picks, so I agree with Jack's. But to come up with another one to just put a cat among the pigeons, I've gone for Jay and Roman, just because of everything Jack said there. We saw the wonderful drama inside Hell in a Cell, a sort of a different Hell in a Cell to anything we've ever seen before, with less emphasis on the action, more emphasis on the acting and the feels and the shouting at each other and stuff like that. Bringing in Jiminy Cricket to throw in the towel on Jay's behalf and sort of getting the brothers playing off each other and the cousin and Roman as well. It's all just being very real because, as I said with the gimmick point as well, this isn't just a gimmick. This is Roman Reigns being the actual head of the table in the Anoa'i family, and it's just bleeding over into professional wrestling. And it's just So far, because normally what they do in WWE, they see something that works, don't they? Then they just do it again and again and again until we're just sick of seeing the sight of it. But step by step by step so far, they've played it to an absolute T. And it's going to go wrong soon. But as we're sat here now on the 10th of December, everything's fine. So I'm going to enjoy it while it's lasting. So Jay versus Roman for me.
Hard to argue. Or is it? Let's see what Jack's got.
Well, I think me and Ross have both gone for this one, really. Yeah. It's Hangman Page versus the Elite in general.
Oh.
Because obviously it started off with him and Omega having their tag title reign, which I think started near the start of the year on the Jericho Cruise, actually. I think that's where they won the belts. Because I remember Hangman Page crowd surfing away with a beer. Then obviously Omega being just a terrible, terrible tag partner, caring more about the Young Bucks than his own tag partner. The Bucks casting Hangman out of the Elite, that amazing match they had. And then Omega and Hangman not turning on each other and then turning on each other later on, which you didn't really expect. Hangman got taken in by FTR for a little while. They won the belts from the Young Bucks and then the Bucks were betrayed by Hangman. And there's just been so many levels and so many layers to it. It's just been fantastic. And it's still going on, really. I imagine it's still going to continue into next year. So can't wait to see what happens.
I'm surprised. I don't think either of you were going to go for those. I'll briefly say what I had. Bailey versus Banks. Yeah. Oh, Wendy's were going to say that for sure. She was like, I know nothing about you two after years of working with you. That's absolutely fine. And the runner-up, because I thought you guys were going to say it, was going to be Best Friends versus the Pride and Powerful.
Oh, that's a good one as well.
Yeah, over a mom's car. But I'm just delaying that because even though Roman is carrying SmackDown on his big muscle, oily back right now with the Uso stuff. I like it. Well, me and Tom have been watching the SmackDown thing, as we do every week, and they call it Classic SmackDown Review. One of the things we like about that period of WWF is the fact that one storyline will lead into another, which will lead into another. It's not quite start, stop like it is today. So I like it when there's these big, long, enormous feuds that bleed into something else. And as Jack said, the thing is still technically going on because now Omega is now turning into Impact Omega, whatever you want to call him, and all this stuff, which has stemmed from all the stuff that's happened right at the start of the year when he's teaming up with Hangman Page. So I love it when you get this lovely, nice, long storyline. It keeps on going and going and going. So it's an easy pick, this one. The Elite versus Hangman.
Yes.
But I still love you, Roman. I'll point that out. And moving on now to another pick. I'm very interested to hear what you guys have got because I had to scratch my head about this one. The show of the year.
The year with no shows.
Yeah, right. No show of the year. Winner Teddy Hart. 2018 was NXT TakeOver New Orleans. Big easy pick, that. 2019's TakeOver New York. Another easy win. This year, what do you think was the best show of the year? Mr. Jack.
I've gone for AEW Revolution. It had the benefit of a live crowd because I think it happened in February, was it? I'll get the card up because it had so many great matches.
Pac, Orange Cassidy.
Oh, you've got it. Oh, no, right. Okay.
I'm just off the top of my head. Jericho Moxley.
Yes.
That one tag match.
Yes. It also had Jake Hager versus Dustin Rhodes, which was a weird start to the show. Mm. Not the best start. Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara. Great match.
Yes.
Nyla Rose versus Chris Statlander, which was before Statlander got injured. She would have been my pick probably for most improved or most underrated or something. But obviously she's missed most of the year. And MJF turning on Cody. Oh no, sorry, MJF versus Cody. Yes. He'd already turned on him, but it's when he beat him. And I think Arn Anderson got involved as well. So that's my show of the year. With the added boost, the benefit of a raucous live crowd in the lovely town of Chicago, Illinois. Great.
Hey, the Windy City. He sucked us in with that one. Ross, what have you got? What are you raising?
Is it the point? Please be the horror show at Extreme Rules.
Yes, that's right, Jack. How did you guess? No, I've gone for what is the second best show of the year. I've gone for TakeOver Portland. I've gone for the show that included Keith Lee defending his North American title against Dominik Dijakovic. I've gone for Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox in a street fight. Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano in an ABBA. I don't know what I said there. Rhea Ripley defending her NXT Women's Championship against Bianca Belair. Ab off, ab on, Abaddon. Bros awaits Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne defeat Undisputed Era for the Tag Team Championships. I forgot that happened until copy and pasting that match card right there. Adam Cole defeated Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Championship. And there's your card right there. Still, I think the best takeover of the year coming out of, obviously, War Games. And so, yeah, there's my nomination there. Portland.
That's interesting. I would have had the one... oh, Christ, what was it called? Was it just XV or XX?
What was XXX. Just the number?
30, yeah.
30.
Was it 30?
XXX. Oh,
wow, that's crazy. There's yeah, I would have put that one above Portland, to be honest with you. That one was one that I think that was the turning point for me when I watched the NXT show and went, hang on, aren't all these matches the exact same? And I've not been able to watch NXT properly since. So I'm glad though that people seem to enjoy it. Again, not just my opinions matters around here or anything like that, but just because of the variety on AEW Revolution. The sheer amount of different gimmicks, different styles of wrestling, different things happening. I wouldn't put any show above AEW Revolution, to be honest with you. I think it's the best thing AEW's put out all year. If, I don't know, something crazy like Eddie Kingston would have won the title of Full Gear, then we'll put that above that. But until then, yeah, Revolution, crowd, making it better than pretty much anything else that's happened.
And I should say as well that I have had the benefit of... I made my picks first. So Ross may have wanted to go for that one as well, I suspect.
Ross here. Let's ask him.
He would have, yeah.
Right. Oh, okay, great. Well, good job for trying me. It's really bad if you like you do such a good argument that we go, yeah, you know what? I'll pick yours. You're like, no, I don't want you to pick mine. But here's another one that I think is going to be really interesting to see because I struggled with this one, honestly. The match of the year... 2018's Gargano versus Ciampa. Don't know which one it was, but there's so many good ones.
They all first one.
Plenty of... Oh, yeah, there we go. 2019, Cody versus Dustin. Oh, absolutely. Yes, 100%. This year, again, there's just been... there's been so many matches that were good, but you had to go, yeah, but no crowd, or they've done some weird editing or something. So, Ross, with all the stuff that's going on in 2020, what is your pick for match of the year?
Now, initially, this is another award where I saw Jack's pick and I was like, oh, I would have gone for that one. But I did a little bit of Googling and I came across a match that, again, it didn't happen too long ago, but I forgot it happened. Volta versus Dragunov. Slappy, slappy, titty, titty from NXT UK. Unbelievable scenes. I don't need to say any words, do I? Just slappy, slappy, titty, titty does it quite well, doesn't it? So, yeah, it's if you want to see it, it was harking back to an era that's dead and gone in Western professional wrestling, I guess. Lots of big meat being slapped all over the place. I feel sorry still for the Hall of Famers that are Ilya Dragunov's nipples. They got nominated off the back of this match here. A throwback to a different era is just all I can say about that match. It's one you just have to see to believe it took place in NXT UK. And it seemed to get the nod from Triple H and Shawn Michaels, who were on YouTube, I saw. Absolutely loving it. And I didn't expect that to be a thing. I was expecting to read news reports from Ryan Satan and people of this ilk going, Volta and Dragunov going to business for themselves doing a match that wasn't sanctioned by NXT UK officials or something like that. But no, everyone was on board and it was fantastic. So as I say, I was going to go for what Jack's going to pick. But looking at this one here, I think I might... Nah, I don't.
You two need to stop looking at each other's picks, man. You're ruining the day. All right, let's not pretend it's Christmas then. Yeah, fair enough. But let's not look at each other's
If we'd not seen each other's picks, then not all the categories would have been the same, but about three. About three of them would have been the same, I think.
Yeah, we had to do it.
But this one's different, and I'm going for Hangman and Omega versus the Bucks at Revolution. I don't know what more to say about it because I've already talked about how good the feud was. But a big criticism of the Young Bucks, right, is that they don't tell stories, they just do flips. But often they do, I mean, some of their matches are just spot fests, but often they do stories. And this was a match with a strong story. If you told me that FTR versus the Bucks was eventually going to happen in 2020 and it wouldn't be the best Young Bucks match of the year, I'd be like, what? That's crazy. But I enjoyed this match more than anything else. And afterwards as well. I loved the fact that Hangman and Omega didn't win. I mean, sorry, the Bucks didn't win and Hangman and Omega still kept the belts. And I loved the aftermath where there was like subtle little body language. It looked like they were setting him up for a triple super kick at one point, but they didn't. Hangman looked like he was going to do the buckshot lariat to Omega, but he didn't. And they all just left it. And I thought that was really, really good. But I feel like our corrupt judging panel... There's another wrestler of his in this category that's just a huge favourite. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, in fairness, I'm sure lots of people are now screaming, going, Matthew, you better not bloody not pick what everyone is calling the match of the year. And I will just go, look. Silence, put my hand up like that. I have spent how many months, how many years at this point, putting over Volta and also Ilya Dragunov? And I've had people tweet at me, go, oh, look, it's that big German dude that you love. And I go, is he Austrian dude I love? And all these other replies. And now after all this time, all it took was one poxy 20 minutes on NXT UK of them beating the life out of each other, turning their chests pinker than Ross's shirt. And now you're all in agreement with me. So because Ross picked it, of course, Volta versus Ilya, match of the year UK.
To be fair, I can't even argue with that pick because it was incredible. It was a very good match.
Yeah. It's got that moment sink in, yeah?
Yeah.
Bask in its glory.
My pick, after a lot of... it wasn't Volta versus Ilya, by the way, because I'm there going, yeah, it was great, it's great. And all my, you know, indie German friends were all going, oh, yeah, but, you know, if you were there live for 16 carat, but I realise I'm sounding like that really old man now. So my pick for match of the year, maybe a bit out there for some, the Men's Rumble.
Oh!
Back in January. Yeah. Because...
Great show.
I thought it was a blast from start to finish, very well put together, and it was the last thing I watched with friends in real life. So just the experience of being sat down and going, yeah, 3 a.m. Oh,
Edge's return,
the camera cut scene around the world. Keith
the
Lee.
The story, wasn't
boy.
It? Yeah.
Yeah.
The story of Lesnar topping everybody until Drew finally came along and got him. Fantastic.
MVP showing up and getting a job out of it. Yeah.
Brock dancing to Keith Lee's music.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good times. Promotion of the year. 2018 NXT. 2019 NXT.
NXT
like a long
won
time
2019.
Ago now.
Wow.
Yeah, right. What the hell were we thinking? 2020. Bearing in mind that we are obviously sponsored and paid for by the good people.
No.
Tony Khan, Inc.
Stop.
Which company are you going to pick for us, Jack?
AW, Matthew, I'm going for.
Wow!
I don't know whether I should pick a secondary one because, I mean, AW Dark. Yeah, because AW have really... I know that there's a lot of people online who, for some reason, are unable to enjoy the good parts of both companies, AW and WWE, right? I don't know why, but there's a lot of people who micro-analyze everything that the other company does that they don't support, and they go, oh, that's rubbish. And if the one that I like did that, you'd all be saying it was crap. I think when you zoom out and just look at it, AEW this year have provided a genuine viable alternative to WWE for the first time, arguably since WCW, which is incredible. It's been 2 decades and now it happens to have come along. I think that it does have its weak points. The women's division's a big one. They don't seem to take that as seriously as they should or invest enough time in it. Often the matches go too long. But on the whole, the storytelling and the booking has been on another level from, I think, every other promotion in the world this year. And yes, it's been a year when a lot of promotions haven't been able to run, so they've had that advantage, but I couldn't think of anyone else to pick. AEW's kind of the obvious choice for me.
Ross?
I've tried my best so far to find an alternative in every single category where I would have picked the same as Jack. But this is one where I can't sit here as a serious wrestling journalist and offer an alternative. It is just AEW. Honestly, I haven't sat here, like we're past the fit, like we're sort of at the end of the first full year now, and it's a lot more sports entertainment than I thought was going to be AEW. I think they're a lot closer to WWE than many people thought they would be. Obviously, before it launched, there was going to be rumours of this. Obviously, they do the win and loss records more than WWE do, and wins do matter, losses do matter. But there's a lot more of the sports entertainment stuff that we don't like about WWE in AEW, and I think they play that down a lot more than maybe they should. They should recognise that they are one and the same with WWE more than they actually are, more than they recognise. But Jack said it all there. It's just, it's AEW, isn't it? And if you can offer an alternative, Matthew, I'll be shocked.
Stardom.
I'll be shocked as well.
Stardom. Big stardom. They've been great.
Yeah. What else can we say after that? Anytime I watch AEW, and sometimes I get caught up in like, oh, God, do I have to watch every bloody Being the Elite segment to get... Oh, God. I'll turn on Raw and I'll realise how utterly fake and devoid of life the majority of the product is, and it's very stagnant. A lot of the time, obviously, there's people that we do love. All hail Roman. But AW Dynamite, with the variety being the key point there, the amazing undercard, the Butcher, the Blade, the Lucha Brothers, Eddie Kingston, to name but several. You know, all these this amazing undercard. So even if you're not smoking the opium of being the elite, you can still enjoy the amazing variety of wrestlers that they have, or be able to, you know, present a good personality of them. And that's what keep me going every week, even more so than the PayPal from Mr. Tay Khan at gmail.
Tay Khan? Tay Tay?
Look, Tony Khan must have been taken by somebody else. T-A-Y Khan. So yeah, AEW.
Can I throw out some promotions that have also had good years just to try and give a bit of...
One of them rhyme with Lardom.
Yeah, yeah, that one. Oh, okay. And also DDT, I was going to nominate as well. DDT have had a good year from what they could have put, from what they can put on. Awesome. So, yeah. But I mean, it's AEW.
Cool. In that case, I'll nominate NCL Wrestling because they had one show this year.
No. We love North. We love North Wrestling.
We do. And I walk to it from my house. So it's one good vantage point. And never mind that. That was all the prelims.
Oh,
now it's time for the all-important... the award that we're going to put on Twitter and hope that that wrestler sees and retweets and goes, thanks, and we get hundreds of followers as a result.
The and that's why
the year.
It's John Cena.
Wrestler of the Year 2018, Will Ospreay. 2019, Phoenix. Mm. Ooh. So there's high standards here on the prestigious Culty Awards. Ross, who is your Wrestler of the Year?
This took me a very long time to come up with, but I've looking up and down the rosters once again. I've gone for Nick Jackson.
Oh.
For my money, the most consistent professional wrestler on a big platform today. He's absolutely flawless every single match he has. You never see him make a mistake. Yes, he might do the same things most times, but also he does things that make your jaw go, huh, every single match he's in. And I made a list of some of the big matches he's been a part of this year. Obviously, he was in...
he's prepared. No, hang on. What?
I've made a list.
I've checked it twice.
Checked it twice. I found out that Nick Jackson is very nice. Obviously, he does a lot more than Matt in these matches because that's how the Young Bucks are. Matt pretends he's injured. Nick does all the work. AEW Revolution, obviously, we spoke about earlier on. Then we've got Full Gear 2020, Bucks versus FTR. AEW Dynamite Episode 40, which was Fighter Fest 2020, one of those two nights. We had the 8-man tag, which was a hoot from start to finish, involving Pentagon and Phoenix and Butcher and the Blade. Then the 12-person one involving the Dark Order. That was another one where they did some things. And then finally, we have the one, the Falls Count Anywhere tag match against the Butcher and the Blade. They were my sort of highlights when trying to come up with a reason for Nick Jackson being the wrestler. I'm just going for just straight down what they did in the wrestling ring and how consistent he was across the entire year. And I just think he's sort of like... I'm trying to think of a football analogy here. He's not like Messi or Ronaldo. You know, a player who's just like, he's great every single week and he's just so great every single time, you take him for granted a bit. I'm trying to think of who that footballer is, but that's Nick Jackson.
Peter Beardsley.
Before he was a racist, yeah. Stuff with Private Party as well. I just think he's great, me. And I just don't like Matt, so Nick Jackson all the way.
He's the Michael Carrick of AEW.
He's more overstated than Michael Carrick, because Michael Carrick just chugged along, didn't he? Just not taking all the headlines. Nick takes the headlines. The G-Sung Park.
He's Park.
Of AEW.
I can't think of more football analogies. Jack, it's a really good one. It would be really funny to have one half of the Young Bucks as our thing because it's going to look so passive-aggressive putting up there.
Hey, if Matt's going to pretend he's injured all these matches, he did it this week on Dynamite as well, thinking his leg was hurt.
His soul will be hurt if Nick Jackson gets awarded and not him. So, Jack, what have you got for us? Please don't say the other one.
Imagine rest of the year. Not you. It's not Matt. I've gone for another member of the Elite, but it's not Matt Jackson. I've gone for Hangman Adam Page. Now, in previous years, I've always gone for the winner of Wrestlers of the Week. But this year, I've been forced to confront the flaws with my own system Wrestlers of the Week. And basically... wrestling's not always about who's had the best matches. Sometimes it's about, I suppose, who's told the best stories. I sound so wanky saying that. And I think that Hangman has had great matches, but also has been the center point of like the best story of the year. And I think he's going to be the man to kick out of the One-Winged Angel, because on a recent Dynamite, at the time of recording anyway, Omega really played up the fact that nobody's kicked out of the One-Winged Angel. I think that could be Hangman next year. So I'm nominating him this year because the journey has been fantastic. And he could maybe win this award next year. I don't know. But I'm going for Hangman for 2020. Sounds like a presidential campaign. Hangman for 2020.
I endorse the Hangman. Or the Hungman, as they call him on Being the Elite.
hey. Fantastic.
Show what God gave you, I guess. Man, that's tough. I mean, yeah, it would be funny as hell to have Nick Jackson as that, but it's going to look, make us look so weird. Like, why have we got one tag guy?
Phoenix won it last year.
Yeah, but Phoenix is a singles guy who does tag matches. You know, Nick Jackson's never won a singles title.
He's not an AEW. He's strictly a tag team wrestler. He's part of the Lucha Bros.
Oh, but in AAA, yeah. What's your bueno? Hangman Page has been really good this year. He really has. And he sent up so much stuff. It's almost great what they haven't done with him. That sounds like a wankerish thing to say, I know. But the fact that they're setting up all these matches that will happen.
It's the space. It's the negative void. It's the black
matter. The mise-en-scène of AEW Dynamite is mucho bueno. So it's very tough. It's very hard. And I'm going to have to pick one of them. Who's going to give us the most clout?
Oh, my God.
Hangman Page. Everybody loves him right now. I don't read anything negative about that man online. Plenty of stuff about the books, but so the Hangman, yes, Hangman Page will make us look the most credible, the most resourceful, better than all the other wrestling YouTubers.
Don't
yes,
dare.
Jack, you've done it again. No, Hangman,
it's a hollow victory, Matthew. If that's your reasoning, it's a hollow victory, and I'm not happy.
Oh well. He'll take it.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'll absolutely take it. Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. Hangman Adam Page having great matches with Nick Jackson and sometimes Matt Jackson on AEW every week, every month, every year. Fantastic. Our pick. For those of you wanting to know, I was going to do, just for consistency, he's only had 11 matches this year. Walter was going to be mine. but in case one of you already picked him, I was going to Eddie Kingston or Rhea Ripley. Just in terms of consistency.
Well.
So, but obviously, they're not getting picked. Mr. Hangman Adam Page's.
Good.
And that, as they say, is that. We hope you have enjoyed listening and indulging the Cultaholics' very own culties, as demonstrated there by a very emotional Russ.
Obviously, this will... A replica of this very trophy will be sent in the mail to each of the winners. To each of the losers, they get a massive lump of coal.
Yes.
Yes. Don't burn it all at once. If you feel that we have picked wrong choices somehow, some way, that we have not picked what you wanted
to. Of course they feel that, Matthew. It's YouTube.
Please leave your thoughts in the comments below.
Why don't you put your picks in the comments?
You've already done that, even before you even got them. Oh, okay, we see you typing there already. You're already arguing amongst yourselves about how AEW's better than NXT and you can all go do something to someone else's. That's absolutely fine. We'll leave you to it. You guys need your space. You have fun down there. Hello, guys. Until then, Jack, do you have anything to say over this festive period? Or are you back at home eating chocolate hobnobs?
Currently, I'll be back at home. But look out for all the great festive content, guys. Look out for all the great content continuing to be put out on cultaholic.com over both this week and the next. Ross?
Yeah, very much the same, but on the YouTube channel as well. Cultaholic Wrestling on YouTube. Subscribe now if you haven't already.
That's what I meant.
You said .com. That's a completely different thing.
Right, on the YouTube channel. Aye.
And on the podcast feed, Tom Campbell's taking control of the Christmas content.
That Adam Pacitti might be doing some streams around this sort of time as well.
He is. He's staying up here in Newcastle and not going home. So he's going to be streaming all the I think it's all the wrestling shows. And if it's not, he's now got to do it because I've said it on a video.
I feel bad for him because obviously he can't go home given the current situation. But
what, they don't want him?
No, COVID.
Oh, that.
But at the same time, he's making the best of a bad situation. So check out his streams when, if and when he's doing them and give him a bit of support.
Yes, because he needs it. And yes, as Ross has said, Mr. Tom Campbell has control of the podcast feed this Christmas. So the watch alongmas will be in full effect by the time you're watching this. I hope it will. If it's not, I'll look stupid. But what else is new? Nothing is new. It's Christmas. It's Hanukkah. It's Kwanzaa. It's the Cultaholic Culties. Thank you for watching and hope you're safe wherever you are. 3, 2, 1. Join us.
Merry
join
Christmas. Us.
Merry Christmas. Oh,
Merry Christmas. Christmas. Happy New Year.
All the things I just said. Wagga, 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 wagga.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.